Who remembers what happened yesterday? Who remembers what happened Purim? Who remembers last Hanukkah? Who remembers last Sukkot? Can you remember that far? Who remembers a year ago Pesach when you were sitting by the Seder? Who remembers when they got their first upsharnish, their first haircut? Who could remember so far when they were 3 years old? Who remembers their hachnasa lacheder, their arayin firnish, when Tati and Mami brought them and they sat on the Rebbe's lab and they came in a talis? Who remembers their bris? Who remembers the Shalom Zachar? Who remembers when they were born? Okay, well, of course you're raising your hand, you're making jokes, but a lot of boys remember, somebody says he remembers being in the hospital, right? When he was born? All right. Well, in this story, in the beginning of the story, one, two, three. In this story, somebody remembers, even before they were born, what happened to the neshama. Who remembers yesterday we had a story about the Shpala Zayden? All right. We are going to continue today with two stories about the Shpala Zayden. The first one is what the Shpala Zayden remembers that happened to his neshama before it was born. Now, exactly how the two things go together, like in the first story, whose neshama did the Shpala Zayden get? Whose neshama came down into the little baby Aryeh Leib in the story that we heard? Whose neshama?
The Maharal.
The Maharal. Very good. The Shpala Zayden actually had the Maharal's neshama. But here's an interesting story that the Shpala Zayden remembered before he was born. Now, exactly how everything goes together, maybe we don't understand, and maybe if our minds were a little bit greater, we would understand. Listen to this story. The Shpala Zayden once said, before he was born, he remembers being a neshama in Gan Eden. The Shpala Zayden remembers, before he was born, he remembers being a neshama in Gan Eden. And one day, whatever a day is like in Gan Eden, a malach came to him and said, neshama, it's time for you to get born. You have to go into the world, into a baby. And the Shpala Zayden said, when I was a neshama in Gan Eden, I told that malach, I don't want to go into the world. I don't want to go into a baby. I don't want to be in the world. I want to be in Gan Eden. I don't want to get born. I want to stay here in Gan Eden. I love it in Gan Eden. I'm close to Hashem. I have the shining of the Shekhinah. I'm together with all the other neshamas. Everything is halik. I don't want to go into the world. I was in the world before. In the world is the Yetzirah. In the world is a body. In the world are all kinds of people and all kinds of things I don't want to deal with. I want to be in Gan Eden. And he said to the malach, go away. And the malach had to go away. It couldn't make that neshama to be born. Well, a few days later, whatever a few days are like in Gan Eden, another malach came to the neshama of the Shpala Zayden. It's time for you to get born. You can't just stay here in Gan Eden. You have to go into the world. Hashem sent me, and you have to go into the world. He sent me to send you, that you have to go in the world. Now let's get going. You can't stand in Gan Eden. You can't stay in Gan Eden. You can't stay in the Shemayim. And the Shpala Zadis, the Shemayim, said to the Malach, leave me alone, go away. I'm busy with the shining of the Shekhinah, of Hashem's Halakite. I don't want to go into the world. I want to stay here. And the Malach could not get the Neshama to go into the world until one day. Now, exactly how these things happen in Gan Eden, I'm not an expert. I'm not sure. I'm just telling you what the story says. One day in Gan Eden, a man with a shovel came to the Neshama of the Shpala Zadi. A man with a shovel. Now exactly what a man was doing in Gan Eden, or how he got a shovel up there, how do I know? I'm telling you the story. A man with a shovel comes to the Neshama of the Shpala Zadi. And he says, I have to be in the world, and I have to shovel the earth with my shovel. And I have to lift up the earth. And when I lift up the dirt and the earth with my shovel, I am also lifting up the neshamas of Yidden. I have to help Yidden with my shovel, shoveling the earth, being in the world, and lifting up my shovel with the earth. I'm lifting up Yidden, helping them to come close to Hashem. This is what I have to do. It's a hard job. And you're sitting in Gan Eden, enjoying yourself? Well, I'm working in the world with my shovel? Is this fair? I have to work in the world with my shovel, and you stay here in Gan Eden and have a good time with Hashem's Halakite and other tzaddikim and the Shamas? Go into the world like you're told to go, and do your job. And the Shpala Zadi said, I remember that man and that shovel. And I got so afraid, the next time the Malach came and said, it's time for you going to... The next time a Malach came and said, it's time for you to go in the world, I said, okay, I'm going. I'm not staying here. And the neshama of the Shpala Zadi came into the world. Now, later on, after the Shpala Zadi got born, and as we told you, his name was Aryeh Leib, the Shpala Zadi later on learned by a tzaddik named Reb Pinchas Karetzer. He was a student of Reb Pinchas Karetzer. And the Shpala Zadi said, one day my Rebbe, Reb Pinchas Karetzer, said, Aryeh Leib, let's you and I go to the great tzaddik, the Baal Shem Tov. Now apparently, Reb Aryeh Leib had never been to the Baal Shem Tov. He had never seen the Baal Shem Tov. And now he hears that his Rebbe, Reb Pinchas Karetzer, wants to take him to the Baal Shem Tov. But he had heard about the Baal Shem Tov. So Aryeh Leib, who was not yet the Shpala Zadi, because he did not yet live in Shpala, but of course, as I told you, he had the nickname Zadi, he said, oh, I would love to go see the Baal Shem Tov. I've heard about the Baal Shem Tov, a big tzaddik. And Reb Pinchas Karetzer and Aryeh Leib are traveling now to the Baal Shem Tov, and they go to the shul of the Baal Shem Tov, and all of a sudden, for the first time, Reb Aryeh Leib sees the Baal Shem Tov, and all of a sudden he faints on the floor. Bang! When he saw the Baal Shem Tov, he fainted. And they get him up, they say, Aryeh Leib, wake up, what happened to you? Why did you faint? He says, I just remembered something that I had forgotten. I had forgotten for a long time, I just remembered it. Who do you think was the man with a shovel that Reb Aryeh Leib had seen in Gan Eden when he was in a shaman in Gan Eden? Who do you think was the man in the shovel? Because right now, he just saw that man with the shovel. Well, the man didn't have the shovel now, but it was the same man. Can you figure out who it might have been? And what? Why he fainted all of a sudden? Who do you think it was? Who? It was the Baal Shem Tov. That was the man with the shovel that Reb Aryeh Leib had seen in Gan Eden. And now he saw him again in the world, and he just remembered what had happened in Gan Eden, and that's why he came down into the world.
Bring me that yo-yo.
I think a yo-yo is two things. Otherwise, you'd call it just a yo. Why is it called yo-yo? Why twice? Let's figure this out. It should be called a yo. Why yo-yo? The Baal Shem Tov says, from everything you see in here, you should learn something. Maybe there's something we could learn from a yo-yo over here. If you don't know how to use a yo-yo, it just goes down. So that would be called a yo. If you know how to use a yo-yo, the fun of the yo-yo, it goes down and back up. Is that right? It goes down and back up. Now, let's try to develop this thing. Now, let's say you did not use the yo-yo yet. You're holding the yo-yo. Okay? I'm holding the yo-yo, right? I didn't use it yet. Nothing happened yet. How do I feel? I feel, you know, let's see if I can do this. Let's see what's going to happen. I'm not so happy yet because I never did it. Let's say you put it down and you get up and now it's back up in your hand. How do you feel? Good. Now, when did you feel better? Before you did it or afterwards? After. Everybody said after. In other words, before the yo-yo went down, it was one thing. The yo-yo went down and it came right back up. Now, it's exactly the same, right? So why do you feel better? Because the yo-yo did something, right? Now, there's also something I saw boys do. They throw it down. Oi! It sleeps! They call it sleeps. What means the yo-yo sleeps? It stays down. It doesn't come up right away. It stays down. Oh, the longer it stays, everybody gathers around. Hey, look, look, look. The yo-yo sleeps. Now, what if it just sleeps and falls asleep and never comes back up? Everybody says, what's the big deal, the yo-yo? But what if it sleeps for a long time and all of a sudden, it goes back up? Oh, look at that. Oh, the yo-yo went back up after me sleeping down there. It's pretty good, right? And then there's tricks. Did you ever see tricks?
Yeah.
All kinds of tricks. If you do a trick with a yo-yo, it's a big deal. But you have to bring it back up each time after the trick. If it fizzles out, you didn't know the trick. If the boy does the trick and afterwards he brings the yo-yo back up, that's the whole thing, right? Everybody says, that's good. Okay, let's try now to use this whole thing for an idea in Hasidus. Who's ready to hear an idea in Hasidus? The yo-yo is the yid. Every Jew is like a yo-yo. Like the vort we had about a dreidel, remember? The dreidel is a yid. The koyach of the dreidel is Hashem. When a person spins the dreidel, they spin the dreidel, so the dreidel spins, that shows like a yid has the koyach of Hashem. And everybody looks at it. It's wonderful. Look. Because the dreidel cannot stand by itself. It's made in such a way it can never stand by itself. The dreidel spins. It shows the yid is the way they should be with Hashem's koyach. As soon as the koyach goes out, the dreidel falls, one of the four sides. What are the four sides of the dreidel? The four galuyos, right? Falls into one of the galus. So the dreidel, besides just being a fun game, is a yid with Hashem. We dive into Hashem, we get another dre. We do a mitzvah, we get another dre. We learn some Torah, we we get another dray. The whole day was supposed to be like a spinning dreidel, and that way were the way that we were supposed to be. Shh. Okay. Now, the same way that a dreidel's a yid, the yo-yo also shows on a yid. It's a good thing. The yo-yo is a good thing. A good thing will show somehow on a yid. I am holding the yo-yo. It didn't go down yet. This is the yid before he goes down in the world. Who is holding the yid before he goes down in the world? Hashem. In fact, you have to tie it onto your finger. The yo-yo is connected with Hashem. Okay? Now, it's still above. It's still up in the Himmel. The neshama is in a special place in the Himmel, in Gan Eden, or the Oitzar Neshamas, the place where the neshamas are close to Hashem. Hashem is holding the yid like I'm holding the yo-yo, close to Hashem. Hashem is holding the yid. It's called the Tzreir HaChaim with Hashem. Okay, now, all of a sudden, bang, the yo-yo goes down. But that's the whole thing. If it would never go down, it wouldn't be a yo-yo, it wouldn't be a game, it wouldn't be fun, right? The yo-yo goes down, way down to the floor. What is the next thing that happens to the neshama? It goes away from Hashem, from the high place up in the Himmel, and Hashem is putting it down. Where did it go? Where does the neshama go when it goes down? It goes into the world. But wait a minute. Is it by itself in the world, or is it still connected to Hashem? How is it connected to Hashem? It has the string. Now, you know what this string is? This string, if we would look closely at the neshama string, there are 613 little tiny strands to the string. Now, I don't mean in the string I'm holding. This is only reminding us of the real string to the neshama. The neshama is connected to Hashem through its string that is made of 613 little strings. Just like this string, if you take it apart, are little strings making a big string. What do you think are the 613 little strings that are still connected to Hashem? What is that? This is the mitzvahs. Okay? Torah and mitzvahs. We're connected. Now, who knows all the tricks? If a person knows a lot of tricks, who knows even more tricks than a person? Hashem, okay? Hashem knows all the good tricks. Now, let's talk about a person that knows all the best tricks. The yo-yo doesn't just go right down and come right up. It stays down. Or it does special things. Now, what does that mean? The person is in the world, living his life, and he's got things to do in the world, right? Now, is that called sleeping? Is that called sleeping? Okay. Well, it says in Chassidus that you could be asleep in the world. If you chas v'shalom forget you have that string, if you just look at the yo-yo and it's just, you know, asleep, you could think, well, it's asleep. But if you really know what's going on with the yo-yo, you know it's just called sleeping, but what is it really? It's a part of a whole thing, and that yo-yo is going to go back, right? So is it really sleeping, or it's really a part of a good trick? It's really a part of a good trick. Okay, so a person should not think when they go to the world, they're just sleeping. They're doing stuff for Hashem. And they're doing all kinds of things for Hashem. The more things you do, the better the tricks are, the better is the whole thing. Okay. Now, what happens at the end? The yo-yo goes back up. Now, where did it go back? To Hashem. Is it exactly the same as before, or even higher, even better? Okay, just like we said, before you did the yo-yo, you didn't feel anything that special. Maybe you were kind of nervous. After you did all the tricks and you brought it back up, you say, hey, this is great. In other words, even better than before, right? So, it says, when Hashem puts the person in the world, it's called Yerida Letzairech Aliyah. Can you say that? Yerida Letzairech Aliyah. It goes down in order to go back up even higher. the neshama goes back up. Of course, it goes back up the string. What takes the neshama back up? The string. Why would a person be in the world and go back even higher? Because the person was following Torah mitzvahs. What if a person really went to sleep, they forgot about the string, and they didn't keep Torah mitzvahs, there's no string. Is there anything to take it back up? No. You have to have that string. The person has to be connected or he's not going to go back up. He's just going to really go to sleep. He won't only sleep, he's going to roll down and who knows where he's going to end up. The neshama, if the string breaks, chas v'shalom, and the thing is spinning, it's going to roll down the street, it's going to go into the gutter, fall down the drain, who knows where it's going to end up. A neshama, I mean a yo-yo spinning without a string, I mean it's bad news, right? Who understands the secret of the yo-yo? Of course I made this up, but it's true, right? This is, you know, Lekavod the birthday, that's right. Lekavod the birthday, we talked about the yo-yo. Now, you're allowed, see like this, of course. I never saw this in Hasidus, that it talks about a yo-yo. But once the Rebbe said that you're allowed to say something, if you know anyway it's true, and you just want to use something to explain it, so you're allowed to do that. So whatever I said was written in Hasidus, and it's all true. It's just that we just use the yo-yo in order to say that. So it's got to be yo-yo. Yo, go down. What's the other yo?
Yo.
It's got to go back up. You go down in order to go back up. It's called the Yerida, going down, Letzurach Aliyah, in order to go back up. Then it's a good yo-yo. If it's just one way, yo, Nishkaninyan. Or yo, what about just up and that's it? What if just up and not down? Doesn't happen that way, does it? It always starts with one yo, and then he goes back to the other yo. Everyone in the world is a slave. Don't kid yourself to think that you're free. The Torah says that the freedom is to be a slave. But not to be a slave and to be free is the biggest slave. A person that says, I'm free, is the biggest slave. A person that says, I'm a slave, is free. Now, what do I mean? Let me explain. Either you're a slave for Hashem, or you're a slave to your own Yetzirah. Now, did you ever hear a person say, leave me alone, I don't want to listen to anybody, I want to do whatever I want to do. I don't want to listen to you, I want to do whatever I want. Now, when a person says, I want to do whatever I want to do, he feels like he's free. I don't have to listen to anybody. I can do whatever I want. Now, just at that moment, he has become a slave to his Yetzirah. His Yetzirah will boss him around. The minute he says, I am going to listen to Hashem, Na'aseh v'nishma, first I'll do what Hashem wants, later on I'll understand, but I have somebody to guide me, to tell me which way to go and what to do and what not to do. I'm going to listen to Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to listen to Hashem's Torah mitzvahs. I'm going to be a slave to Hashem. This person is free. Let me give you a good mashal. Let me try to give you a good mashal. Let's say you bought your own computer. Okay? Let's say, or if you don't know about a computer yet, like me, you got some kind of a very good special game. An electronic game. Or it could be a special stereo or whatever it is. Now, everybody knows when you buy an expensive thing, when you have an expensive thing that you buy, it comes with a book. What is the book? It tells you how to use it. It tells you rules. If you want to use this computer, if you want to use this game, if you want to use this stereo with a CD with all kinds of stuff, or even a toaster oven, whatever it is, a vacuum cleaner, a special portable phone, it comes with a booklet or a good camera. It comes with a booklet that says, if you want to use this thing and get the most out of it, this is what you do. You read the book. You follow the rules. It tells you which buttons to press. It tells you how to put in the batteries, how to plug it in. It tells you how to program it. It tells you all kinds of things to do. And there's pages and pages. And the better the thing is, the more pages there are to read. Now what if a person says, I don't want to bother, let me do whatever I want. Who wants to listen to all these pages and read 1, 2, 3 and these rules and all these things? Who wants to read, I don't want to be bothered, let me do whatever I want. And he sits down to that computer, or that CD player, that stereo, or that toaster oven, and he starts to press buttons, or that microwave. Do you think he's going to be able to use that well? Or he'll do a few things, but then he won't be able to do anything because he doesn't know what to do, or he doesn't know what not to do. Maybe he's going to press the wrong button and something will go wrong. Now, the person says, I want to be free. Nobody should tell me what to do. And in the end, he's the biggest slave. He can't do anything. What if a person says, look, I am now going to be a slave to this book. This book will tell me what to do. I'm not going to do whatever I want. I'm going to follow the rules in this book. What is he now?
He's free.
He's free. How is he free?
He became a slave now to all these rules and stuff. How is he free?
Because when you do something, when you listen to something, it's like you're free. But when you don't listen and you say, oh, I don't want to do this, then you're not free.
Okay, what means free? Now, when he uses the computer, he'll do everything. When he presses all the buttons, he knows all the buttons and what they do. Now, he's free. In order to be free, you have to be a slave for a while. Or let's say, who plays piano? Anybody plays piano? Oh, very good. Look how many boys play piano. Okay, let's take two boys. One boy says, I don't want to have any teacher. I don't want to learn anything. I don't want to sit there and have anybody to tell me what to do. I want to be free. I want to play the piano like I want to play. Well, maybe he's got a good ear and he'll be able to play a few things. But what if a person says, look, I'm going to learn piano. I'm going to take lessons. I'm going to get the books and do the exercises, learn how to read music and develop myself. Now, I'm going to be a slave to all of these things. What's going to happen, hopefully in a while, maybe a few years, how will he be able to play piano? Very, very well. Because he practiced and he learned. And now he's free. Now he's free on the piano. What about reading? I don't want to waste my time learning all these letters. I just want to read. Well, forget about it. If a person knows how to read, then he can pick up anything and read. He has to be a slave for a while to learn something in order to read. So, this is the way it is. You be a slave, you're free. You be free, you're a slave. That's it.